Hey, K-Watchers, it's Leanne.
Hi, everyone, it's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we are starting a new drama, Lovely Runner, episodes 1 and 2. You can find it on Viki. Charge up your wheelchairs and grab your umbrellas, my friends. This drama is chock full of what we came for: time travel, high school crushes, and hot swimmers. Let's get into it. Good morning, Juliet. How are you?
Good morning. I'm feeling like I'm barely opening my eyes right now.
You know, that's like the theme of every intro.
Every week. Well, but this time I've been taking cough medicine every night for the last 3 nights. And so I feel very high and drugged.
Oh, a perfect way to record a,
that's right,
a podcast. You need to take care of your health. You know, I'm eating this mung bean soup for breakfast this morning.
Tell me more.
I should make you some. In Chinese, it's called lü dou tang, and it's something I ate as a kid. You basically boil mung beans, these little green mung beans, and you boil them in water and a little bit of sugar, and then you get them to be there, like, till they're soft, and you eat them with the soup. And, like, you put ice in. It's, like, meant to be, like, a cold type of soup, and it's...
like a lentil soup.
Yeah, but there's nothing else in it. It's just the bean, water, and a little bit of sugar. And you don't even have to put the sugar in if you don't want.
What is the nutritional makeup of mung beans? Like, what makes them healthy?
They've got amino acids, antioxidants. I think they could help you as a breakfast good, help you with your declining health.
I really don't know what to do with myself. I was working so hard to not get sick. I have been taking all of the vitamins, trying really hard to make sleep a priority. And then we went to travel to Orange County to visit our family after Memorial Day. And inevitably, the kids don't sleep well, which means I don't sleep well. And I'm just running around keeping them occupied the whole week. That will
take you down.
Take me down. Although I'm quite liking this sexy voice that I have.
I mean, this is the perfect raspiness. Any more and you'd be croaking. And nobody wants to hear
that. That's right. You'd have to do a solo episode. Although you may have to do a solo episode this week too, because I was watching every night right after having taken my meds. And so I would go into kind of this delusional state and I would like start to take notes and then I look back and then it's just gibberish. So I don't even really know what I watched, but I'll do my best.
Normally by record time, you've already kind of forgotten the episodes that you watch, even in a normal state without drugs
That's right. Your
system.
I have to rewatch it in the morning that we're recording.
So this should be fun, guys. How was your trip to the OC? Did anybody recognize you from the podcast?
Well, I mean, I did see people staring at me, but like, you know, now I know it could be for other reasons. Also, it was funny because the first morning, my parents were out on a walk with my kids and I woke up a little later. I'm going towards them because I wanted to go on a run. And my mom, her eyesight is getting worse. So she's like, who is that? And I could hear her. And she says, 저 미친 여자 누구야? Which means, who's that crazy lady? It's me. And then she's like, why do you walk like that? You know, which is what you make fun of me for. She's like, you're walking like a man. You're just like, everything is out. And I'm like, this is how I walk. But she was like, can you walk like a lady?
That's what I'm saying. The positive spin on it is you have presence. The negative spin on it is you walk limbs akimbo like a wild person.
That's right. But when I was down there, one of our mutual friends really wanted to go to this K-pop party on a Saturday, but we were leaving on Saturday. So she was saying, why don't you just have your husband drop you off and then fly back on Sunday? And I was like, this party does not seem like worth all that rigmarole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was a 90s K-pop party hosted by PK, who is a famous comedian, and he is really popular amongst the Korean American community. I know back way in the day, he used to go to a lot of like KSA parties. And
I used to be at KSA parties too.
Oh yeah, so you probably saw him. He would do a set.
But I just went because
you were drinking
free booze.
Yeah. So he's really well known and he's been doing this for years. You know, he's older than we are. But he was hosting this party and my husband knows him through KSA, as does our mutual friend. And both of them had told him about the podcast. And so he shouted it out at the party, which is very exciting. Hopefully there's some people here. He apparently said, K-Watch party, guys. K-Watch party.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, thank you to PK at the party for shouting us out. I feel like next time we need to make K-Watch party stickers and pass them out at the door. You know, some guerrilla marketing. We joke around that we only have 6 listeners that are just our friends, which is half true. A lot of our growth has come organically from these friends spreading the word. So thank you to all of you guys who are telling your friends about our podcast. But we do also have fans outside of these 6 to 12 people that we know personally. You know, last week skipped a week.
We were both traveling.
We just like couldn't get it together. You were out of town, I was out of town.
But we did jump through a lot of hoops to try to make it happen.
Monday was coming around. I was like, I just can't get it done. I mean, you know, we are a two-person team here. We do our own editing. We're just Tweedledee Tweedledum sitting around. We were just like, okay, whatever. Like, nobody cares. We didn't even go on our social.
I know. Like, and like, anything. I thought, okay, I should go on the social. But then also the week was so busy. I was like, really? Nobody seems to be caring. Nobody's messaging. It's fine.
Yeah. And then we did get some nice messages.
Yeah.
One listener was like, I've been pressing Spotify to refresh every day. Where are you guys? What are you up to?
Oh, I was
like,
oh, gosh. I'm
so sorry. We have to apologize for just going dark for 1 week. But I do have to say, it is nice to know we have fans because it keeps us on deadline.
It does. And it actually just keeps me going because a part of me was like, oh, well, you know.
What's 1 week?
Yeah, whatever. But the fact that people are waiting for us and want us to produce more content to me is inspiring.
So I think we will be more mindful about timing from now on.
Any updates on the hair journey? Because my husband gave me a lot of flack for how hard we went on your husband last week. I was like, she got permission, okay? He's like, you guys didn't have to laugh so hard.
Yeah, I knew the laughter would come to bite us in the ass. No updates, really. He's a little less obsessed about it. I feel like maybe it's not coming out at the same rate. Or he's just resigned himself to his fate. I don't know.
But I also believe that being in Korea, where everyone is so vain and all they talk about is your looks, and you look around and everyone is taking such good care of themselves, it's hard not to have that be at the forefront versus you come here. People just don't, I don't feel like it's a big deal. We're not in LA where you hear of people getting hair transplants. That's more common, right?
Right. Although I think there is an underbelly of men who are like secretly taking their Propecias and doing their Rogaine. And I have one friend in the neighborhood who does like a laser comb and he'll just like watch TV and massage his.
What? Oh,
Juliet's eyes just perked up.
She's first like, of all, I need this. Yes. I need this comb. But do you see a difference? Like, does this person have really lush hair?
Yeah. So his hair, I think, is much fuller than it would have been if he had not taken care of himself. So yeah, a little less stressful in the house.
So you went and bought those supplements, but you didn't get the laser hairbrush.
I didn't get the laser hairbrush. My next laser purchase is going to be for myself. I don't have an LED mask.
Yes, you need that. Take care of you before him.
Do you have the like the popular one, Omnilux?
I don't have that one. I have a different one that's from a UK brand. I don't know if it does any work. Also, I was in the sun all week last week, and I was like, well, I just redid all the damage. But, you know, it's really hard, this balance of just going out and living your life and having a great time and covering yourself up and being so conscious of detrimental effects of the sun.
And you look like a freak when you go out and you're just all covered up.
Also, I went to the golf range in Irvine. And if any of you guys know, Irvine is heavily Asian. It was packed with Asian women and men.
At this golf course.
Mm-hmm. At this golf course, at the driving range. These women had these hats that would cover like 3/4 of their face.
The hat?
The hat. And it would have these flaps that would, I think the flap would cover the face.
So it would let you, your eyes could show.
You can see from your eyes.
But your nose and mouth and chin are all covered, like the bottom part.
It looked like it. I didn't look that closely, but I was like, you guys look crazy.
Going back to the LED mask thing. So the same friend with the Rogaine, his wife, also very into self-care, she bought a LED mask. It's not a face mask. It's like you could put it anywhere in your body. She was sold on it because her sister-in-law said she used it on her very aging dog. Like the dog is aged and is, you know, has all these has all these ailments, is ready to go. And they put the LED light treatment pad on this dog, like where his joints were bad. My friend is like, this dog is acting like a puppy now.
That's a testimonial if I have ever heard of one.
Exactly, because it's basically reverse aged this dog. So it'll reverse age our faces, I think.
Guess who talked about that? Andrew Huberman. For all of you who were trying to cancel him. He's been an avid proponent of the red light therapy for ailments, for, you know, if you have any sores after working out and whatnot, that's supposed to be great at healing you. So,
but it saves dogs' lives.
Oh my gosh.
This friend also, so this is a friend of mine from college and she lives in the neighborhood, and I introduced her to you very recently.
Yes.
And then I'm walking home from school and she lives right outside of school, and you two are coming out of her house to go on a walk without me. I was not invited.
And well, you were working, okay? It wasn't like we were excluding you.
And it felt like I was catching my husband and my best
with
friend.
A lover. Okay, that's hilarious.
And you guys were like, don't look her in the eye, walk away, like act like
and
we don't see her.
Legitimately said, I feel so guilty right now. And I was like, well, sorry, guilty for what?
I do, though, have a history of bringing friend groups together, and then these friends become closer friends with each other.
And they leave you out.
I mean, they don't leave me out, but they definitely go off and do their own thing and have their own friendships without me.
Don't worry, all we did was talk about you the whole time.
Okay, you better keep it that way. Bringing people together, that's my job. Just like we're bringing people together and watching Lovely Runner on Viki. So it's $5.99.
Well, it's free for a week. So if you really, really committed to it, you could watch 16 episodes.
In 7 days.
Yeah.
It was also free for me for only 2 episodes.
That's right. That's why I remember, because I was originally going to say, oh, we could watch it ad free. But then I realized they only let you watch 2 episodes for free.
Yeah, so I've only watched 2 episodes. I gotta now pay my $5.99. I know it's a lot to ask our listeners who aren't already on Viki, who already have 10 subscriptions. It stacks up. I mean, I used to work in financial tech. There are literal startups that their entire job is to help you manage your subscriptions. So I think maybe one of the things we can do to help our listeners is maybe at the end of the month, we remind everybody to go cancel it if they've already finished their 16 episodes. So Lovely Runner, I do have to say, is worth the $5.99. I thoroughly am enjoying episodes 1 and 2 so much.
Okay, so we started out with Marry My Husband, then we went to Queen of Tears, and now we're at Lovely Runner. Those are the 3 dramas we have done, and consecutively. I feel like this is your zone. My jam, right? Because Marry My Husband was so out there, cheesy, over the top. It was fun to recap, but it wasn't really something I enjoyed. Queen of Tears was like almost too magically beautifully produced, and it was so predictable. I mean, so is Lovely Runner, but
it lacks the fun of this.
Right, because you just know how this will play out. Whereas Lovely Runner, also because they're high school students, there's something really nostalgic about it that I am all in.
The show is so fun and refreshing. It doesn't take itself too seriously. And it treats things with a lot of respect. Like, we're going to talk about Sol, the main lead character. She's in a wheelchair. They treat that with a lot of respect. They treat idol fandom with a lot of respect. And high school crushes. There's time travel. And the chemistry between the two leads, who I don't even know these people.
Yeah.
I very rarely start a drama without knowing.
Yeah. That's what I think also is beautiful, because you know this is going to jumpstart their career, but they were chosen because there's so much potential, but people really don't know them very well.
Here, it feels very organic and fresh because it's just these two kind of unknowns leading their first drama, and it's so great. Let's get into the show itself, episode 1. So we were saying we don't know these actors at all. The main lead actress,
her name is Kim Hae-yoon.
She's 27 years old, but very much believable. As both, I think, a 30-year-old and as a high school girl.
Totally.
She was also in Record of Youth and Sky Castle. Those are her two biggest.
Oh, both of which I watch, but I don't recognize her.
The actor is
Byun Woo-seok.
He's 32.
Oh, wow. He's also believable as a high school student.
I know. He looks very young. He was also in Record of Youth. He is very tall. He is towering over her. But they have really good chemistry. They're super cute. This show is based on a popular webtoon called Tomorrow's Best.
Oh, so many of these webtoons are turning into dramas.
And I was very skeptical because Marry My Husband was a webtoon. Yeah. You know, I was like, okay. But this one is so good. So yeah, the show did really well in Korea. It was a surprise to everyone, I think. And so that's how it's kind of percolated over here to America and has gained our attention. The first episode sets the stage for us. We meet all the characters. The lead character, her name is Im Sol.
Im Sol. So she has only one character. Typically, it's 2 characters for your first name.
Sol, in Latin and Spanish, means sun. We start the show with a solar eclipse.
Mm.
So we're already starting very heavy-handed on the themes. I know you think you might have hallucinated it, but there was a little bit. Eclipse.
Did I hallucinate these people looking at the solar eclipse without any sunglasses on?
I know, guys. You need to get some.
You're pulling a Trump there. Looking straight at the sun without some sunglasses, you're going to go blind.
Yeah, you guys need some ISO 12312-2s, okay?
From Amazon.
That's how we start. We're in 2009. Im Seol, we see her. She's in the hospital. It turns out she's paralyzed. It's seemingly her legs don't work. She's very depressed. She has a doting mother by her side. They're listening to the radio. And a new idol group called Eclipse is on the radio. They're getting interviewed. And they play a game where they're calling somebody.
Yeah. So these are people that they know that they're calling, I'm assuming?
I think so. Okay. It must be somebody you've given their phone number to. And so this radio is playing in the hospital where Im Seol is. I've watched a few dramas now where radio is very important.
It's such a big thing in Korea. And now they're doing a lot more radio with video attached. But music radio, like DJ radio, I don't know if that's what you call it. But somebody would just sit and talk like a Delilah. Remember from back, is it Delilah? No?
No, it's
Delilah. The radio, like. So Delilah was a big time. And I think she's still on the radio.
Oh, wow.
She has a very soothing voice. But they have a lot of celebrities who now host a show. Like there's a girl who's from the Wonder Girls from back in the day, one of the female K-pop groups. And she hosts a show where she'll bring people on. She'll also just like play music that people request.
Oh, cool.
So that's a big part of the culture.
It's basically call-in radio, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you ever listen to like Ryan's Roses from Ryan Seacrest? Where they would call people who are suspecting their partner of cheating?
It's so dangerous, that game.
Oh, it's so bad.
So, okay, so explain. Ryan Seacrest hosts the morning show in LA, 102.7 Kiss FM, and he has this game.
Where somebody would call in and say like, I am suspecting that my partner is cheating, so will you call my partner and offer to send roses to whoever he or she wants?
Oh, so like free roses.
Yes.
I see. To try to trap them.
Yes. And then inevitably that person, they will call them and they would say, oh, I'm going to send it to someone who's not their partner. And any message you want to write to them? And that person would say like, oh, I just love you. I miss you so much. See you this weekend or something. And then they'd be like, haha, gotcha. Your partner's on the other line. It was so entertaining.
That is a dangerous game to play. This one was a little less dangerous on the show. They were just calling to ask them questions about this group.
And you get a prize or something.
Yeah. And somehow our lead girl, Seol, gets called on her cell phone. As right. She's kind of contemplating cutting herself with this shard of glass. Like she's like just in the depths of despair. She gets this phone call on her cell phone.
And she's quite angry.
She's suffering and she's like, how dare you call me? How dare you be happy and rub it in my face? Like, what is this? And then we see our male lead. We meet
Ryu Seonjae.
He is the lead vocalist and visual of Eclipse. There are so many idol fan terms.
Right. They designate somebody as the visual, which is the hot one. So one person's always the rapper.
Yes. Always someone's a lead vocalist.
Yes.
There's always like probably like a best dancer, right?
Yep.
And then there's the visual. Okay, so did you know in BTS that Jin is considered the visual, like the official visual?
Yeah, he has the kind of face that Korean people like.
Because to me, it should be...
Who?
V.
But V looks like a baby, right?
He has or kind even of a, Jungkook. Like Jungkook is
Jungkook
so hot.
Is a sexy one.
I see.
He's the...
So you can't be visual if you're sexy.
Yeah, you can't be sexy and visual. Visual is like pretty boy.
I see.
Which is why one of our friends who's a BTS fan thought that I would like Jin. Maybe because she looks at my husband and is like, oh, you just like pretty boys. Which actually turned out to be true because I do like Jin. But I also love Jungkook.
Really?
He's quite.
Well, because his whole vibe now.
I know. It's so like.
Oh, just dripping with sex.
Yeah, dripping with sex. And then there was a little clip of him outside smoking somewhere.
Oof.
I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I don't condone smoking, but damn, you are hot.
Oh man, there is something about smoking.
There really is.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, so Seol is super pissed. And then Seonjae comes on the air and says,
thank you for being alive.
He says, thank you for being alive. The weather is nice outside.
So that must be some kind of inside
yeah
thing that they have together.
But she doesn't actually know him in this world, but it sounds like he knows her.
Right.
And this very much ties to this overall theme of weather. It's nice outside. There's a lot of snow and rain and umbrellas in this first two episodes.
That's true.
The umbrella budget on this show must have been the biggest line item on the budget, because literally there's like umbrellas, very high end, really nice umbrellas.
Oh, are they?
Ooh, I mean, that black one that he comes out of the van with when he's an idol. Oh, that's high quality right
there.
Oh,
gosh.
Wind resistant, I bet.
I mean, what? They're $40 at most.
I am always like a cheap umbrella buyer. I hate to invest in an umbrella because I'll lose it for sure. Mm. So I just have 13 terrible half-broken umbrellas. I know. I need to upgrade that part
of my
life.
I know. I was also like that. I'm just like cheap in my life. But then at some point after, you know, having the umbrella like flip out on me so many times, I finally got a really nice one. And it really does make a difference.
Yeah.
Still don't know where it is though.
And so Sanjay's pep talk really hits her and she starts crying. I was kind of crying. I was very moved by this pep talk. I don't know what happened to me. And she just ends this scene in 2009 sobbing. And then we cut to New Year's Eve 2022. Seol is seemingly super happy. She's got her new life.
She's in a wheelchair.
She's like so bubbly and positive.
Yeah, she's a totally different person.
And this Sanjay's speech seemingly really turned her life around.
Mm.
And you see her bedroom.
Decked out in Sanjay's face and merch.
It's a like a life-size cutout of him. I would say that this would be unrealistic, except
that we have a friend.
Literally has a
cutout of V.
Well, she has blankets.
Oh, that's right.
Pillows.
She does that. This is basically her life.
I mean, this is a very mature, we're not going to name her age, but she is a mature lady.
Yeah, well-adjusted.
Real woman. Job.
Yes.
We see Seol, you know, like kissing her ticket to the concert, kissing, you know, life-size poster, like hugging it. I'm like, these are 100% things that our very good friend probably does on a nightly basis before she goes to bed.
So I'm sure there are women out there, maybe men.
Who this is a very real depiction of.
Yeah.
It seems like a fun life. Like she's just like surrounding herself with the thing that she loves, which is this boy in a boy band.
There is something, I'm sure, exciting about having like the one thing that you know is just such a fantasy and that you obsess over that no one else can touch. And actually, I read an article. It might have been the New York Times. It might have been TikTok. I don't remember. But that was talking about how parents are so confused by their children's obsession with K-pop. And one of the things that it highlighted was that it's such a foreign thing to their parents that to the kids, it's precious.
Oh, interesting.
It's like, you will never know. You don't understand because it's so outside of your world. But I was like, wow.
Did you have this when you were a kid?
I did, but for me, it was my connection to my culture. I grew up in a very non-Asian upbringing, like throughout my life. And so for me, I use this as my gateway to people who were like me or the things that also felt niche to me that nobody else could understand.
I mean, like, it's not foreign to our generation, even outside of K-pop. Like, I know, like, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, sure.
Titanic days, right? I had the magazines. There were posters, you know? So it's not like this didn't exist outside of K-pop. But yeah, the K-pop idol stan fandom is a next level.
Yep.
And so we see this with Seol. Now she's 30 years old, grown-ass woman in her wheelchair, hugging life-size posters. Today's the day. There is a concert. Eclipse hasn't been together in 5 years. She's going there. She's got a ticket. We meet Seol's best friend, Yi Hyunju. She's bubbly. She wears glasses. You know, typically the supportive
the
best
sidekick.
Friend. Yep. Yeah. She has room in her trunk for a motorized wheelchair.
Oh, good friend.
Best friend. But it turns out to be the worst day ever for Seol. She gets a call for an internship, but because of stairs, there's no elevator, she can't get this job.
I find that crazy.
Korea, you don't have a Koreans with Disability Act. But I have to say, in Korea, they're very good about accommodating old people and pregos. Like on the subway, there are seats marked specifically for pregnant ladies.
Oh.
And older people and wheelchairs.
Yeah. Even it's not like the US where it's like designated for pregnant people and then people just who are not pregnant sit there and don't get up when they see a pregnant woman.
I feel like the pregnant people seats are very new. Like that wasn't a thing when I was pregnant. I was standing.
Well, yeah,
on
no,
the
I'm
meeting.
Sorry. There's no designation for pregnant people, but you know, you should get up when there's a pregnant person.
Oh yeah,
person.
Nobody does that.
Nobody would get up. I would be riding the subway. Not a person would get up.
Were
it was
you
crazy.
Like very visibly?
I was very pregnant.
Oh, okay. Because that one is like a little dicey. You're
yeah,
like,
that's true.
That offering nothing, but you just had a big burrito. And you're like, sit. You had a burrito.
Yeah, people are like, I don't want to make an assumption. Maybe yeah. that's what it was.
But no, in Korea, like it has a sign that is just for pregnant ladies yeah. as a seat. They even have special, they used to, I think, even have special parking spaces for women in general in these big mall parking garages, you know, because it's
for safety.
Yeah. yeah. So she gets that bad news.
She could have sued their ass and become like a millionaire.
Seriously. She can't get into the concert because she has a paper ticket and it fell out of her bag on the bus. In 2022, in Korea of all places, that would have been an e-ticket. It would have been in her e-wallet. But she's still so bubbly and upbeat. She's cheering from the outside. She's got her headband on that says, what does it say?
Her headband is the title of the show in Korean. It says, 선제 업고 티어, which means put 선제 on your back and run.
Right, which I guess she's trying to do. We'll see, right? Like she's trying to protect him and carry him to a better life. So she's outside the venue. Somebody knocks the phone out of her hand.
Oh, right.
Girl, you don't have a case? You rich or something? That you know that they call it the rich man's phone case is to not have a case.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Your husband doesn't have a case. And I'm always like, I'm not understanding what you're trying to accomplish here. Like, what are you trying to prove? Because I can knock this down and it'll shatter. I find that it's so precarious. But I guess you're right. When you're so rich, you're like, I'll just buy another one.
And to be clear, my husband should not be walking. He should not have a rich man's phone case. That fool should have an otter case. Yeah. He should have a clip on his belt.
Right.
Okay, so that it does not fall. She drops her phone. I guess it breaks, right? Like now she doesn't have any ability to call anybody, so she can't get a ride home. We see her motoring her wheelchair across this very long bridge. It's snowing. And her motorized wheelchair breaks down. Runs out of battery?
Which I also, is this realistic? Like, why wouldn't there be a manual function?
Like there should be backup. Of course, who happens to pass by in his idle van? These giant idle vans. You know, I see them.
Do you see them everywhere?
I see them driving around Korea. And I'm like, oh, is there someone famous in there?
Oh, I'm sure.
He comes stepping out of his van, just looking so hot. He offers her a very high quality black umbrella. Holds it over her head.
More than $40.
She's crying. She's always, it's like another theme. She's always crying when she sees him. It's like, why are you crying? She's just can't believe it. He like goes to hold her hand. He's giving her a little warm pack.
So
it's very intimate. Like
but
he does
know her.
She
doesn't seem to know him in any close way.
In a personal way.
Right, in a personal way.
But we had found out earlier that she did go to high school right across from him.
Right.
We learned that in the car on the way to the concert, but she never knew him.
He offers her a ride.
And then poor timing.
Her best friend rolls up in her small little smart car with just enough room for her motorized vehicle. She's like, hey, get in.
I mean, this is a poor choice.
Friends should just keep on driving.
Yeah. Friends should see like, oh, there's something happening here. Sanjay goes home to a hotel. You see pills kind of scattered. Like it's been made clear that Sanjay wants to retire from Eclipse.
Yeah.
But everyone around him is giving him shit for it.
Yeah.
And they don't want him to leave. So he's getting a lot of pressure.
Also, we forgot to mention that Seol gave him a little jar of something as they separated from the bridge.
So we see these pills kind of scattered around and there's booze. I don't recall ever seeing in a drama this kind of thing.
I know.
Like an actual reference to reality, which is that people are on antidepressants. People are taking pills. Like everything in K-dramas is, I'm sad, I'm going to cry. And he's on the balcony. And very shockingly,
he jumps and falls into a pool of water in like his very fancy lobby. And ultimately dies.
Very dark and shocking.
I know. I wrote in my delusion. I was like, oh my God, this shit took a dark turn.
Seol sees this news. She's wearing a watch that she had bought for a lot of money. That was a Sanjay watch. So she's wearing this black like Casio watch.
But it had been lighting up.
Yes.
Right? So it must have not been working, but it was lighting up. She's like, did I just see something? And then I was like, oh no, this drama is about to get cheesy again.
Yeah. It wasn't a Casio. It was like a Gaseo.
Yeah. Good one.
She accidentally like knocks his watch off into the stream. Cheonggyecheong. Like that's definitely Cheonggyecheong right there. And so she knocks it off.
And she has to army crawl because her legs are not working. Like, this girl's serious.
And she's just desperate to get this watch. So she's now in the stream. She's playing with a watch and...
she presses a button and then she starts to glitch.
And then boom.
She's sitting in her high school.
We have now our time travel. They call it a time slip. That's the official term for this kind of thing in Korean dramas, time slip. And she can stand.
She can walk. That is really an amazing, yeah, what an amazing feeling.
She goes straight to the swimming pool. We now know that Sanjay was a swimmer. It's like an Olympics trials level swim competition that he's working toward. He comes out of the pool. She just screams his name, goes up and hugs his naked torso.
And she tells him, oh, if I had known you were so sad and you were so alone, I would have been there.
It's cute because she thinks this is a dream. This is why she's acting like this.
Yes. And then she says, let's live together. Yeah. Which probably meant like, let's stay alive.
I see.
But then he was like, it sounded like, let's move in together. And he's like, what the heck?
He literally gets in a taxi and flees from her. She's gaining her bearings. She goes home. She sees her grandmother.
Yeah. Her mom is very young.
She sees it's June. I think her accident was in July. Oh. So it's only 1 month before her accident. She flashes back to her surgery and like having had the accident back in 2009. And this is how you wake up from surgery. We saw in Queen of Tears, everyone wakes up from surgery, just hair permed and makeup on. No, this girl, she's woozy, she's confused.
She's not looking cute at all.
That's how you do it, guys.
You know, I've woken up from surgery now at least 3 times. And every time my face has blown up because they pump you with so much liquid that you just blow up. My feet were the size of like footballs.
How do you wake up from a surgery?
Dry lips.
You've mentioned dry lips from waking up for surgery. Hopefully you don't have to have surgery again, but I will definitely tell your husband to just go and put some
Vaseline on there. Or at least like Dyson my hair.
That's another thing. When like girls hire a photographer to come to the hospital right after birth to take a photo. Like, oh man, that was the last thing I was thinking about.
You know, I think if I was like 25, I probably could have done it. But I don't know. Something about being older and having kids older,
It's not cute when you're like of a certain age.
It's definitely not something I wanted to do at all.
Yeah. The photo I sent to my friends after my second one was born, I positioned her in between my legs. I had my legs lifted up and I was eating a banana. It must have been an inside joke about something, but I can't remember what the joke is anymore. But the picture lives on. But anyway, there's more rain. There's some umbrellas. There's some moments under awning where they look at each other. Episode 2. She keeps crying. He's so kind to her. He's always giving her an umbrella. A lot of episode 2 happens in high school. So this high school filming location is very famous.
Is it? Mm-hmm.
It's like Goblin was filmed here. Our Lovely Summer with Choi Woo-shik was just here. I've walked by it. It's at the top where the Bukchon Hanuk village is.
Okay. But is it a working high school?
Yeah.
Oh.
It seems like they really make their money from filming more
than
tuition.
All the kids get a scholarship. It looks like a boarding school in the East Coast.
So cute now. She gets to go back to school. She's like reliving high school. She's like, oh my God, long time no see. Hey you. I remember you. What's your name again? Like, yeah. This is so cute. This made me so happy. If you could go back and pick a year in your childhood, what year would you pick?
Ooh. Well, one, I would love to go back to kindergarten because if you've listened to our podcast, that's when I met my husband, or he and I were in the same class.
But what would you have done?
Just to like see what we were like. You know, I'm so curious what our interactions were like. But I think I would like to go back. I didn't enjoy high school because I had a really rough high school experience. But I think I'd still like to go back.
To high school?
Yeah, to high school. Just to, as an adult, to see all the people that I interacted with and hated.
But also to tell yourself also like it's going to be okay.
Oh my gosh.
She does a lot of that in the show.
Yes. Even now as an adult, sometimes I'll think about what I was struggling with when I was younger. And my therapist will ask me this a lot, like, what would you tell that younger self? Mm-hmm. And I will tell myself, I would say, hey, it's going to be all right. You're going to be okay.
I would have picked my junior year. I just had great friends. I was running around school in my short little tennis skirt all the time. You know, I would have been at the pool with Sanjay. Like, you know, I was on swim team. Yeah. I had like these best guy friends. Such a fun year for me. But even then, you know, there's the little things that you worried about. You could still go back and say, like, don't worry about these little things.
So when I was in Orange County recently at my parents' house, I was just going through old photo albums, which I love to do. And I was looking at these pictures from when I was 10 and we had gone to Korea to visit. And in it were my grandparents in their mid-50s. And one of my grandfathers, he passed away 7 years after that, which actually is not a long time. And I was thinking, he didn't know in that picture that he would pass in 7 years. There were so many things, like a lot of like drama that was happening too in their lives and my parents' lives that probably became so meaningless after that. I am at the core a very sentimental person. And so when I look at those things, I think nothing in life is guaranteed. Every day is precious. Everything will be okay. So let's like just sit here. Let's enjoy this moment. So I've been trying to do that a lot.
One of the things you couldn't have done, which she, Sol, cannot do in the show, is go back in time and tell a past person their future fate. So we see like Sol's right. trying to tell Sunjay, this competition is going to end your swimming career. Don't do it. But she can't. The minute she right. has the intention of telling the future, time will stop.
But do you think she's doing that because she doesn't want him to become an idol?
Mm-hmm.
Because she thinks that's going to be his destruction?
Mm-hmm. A lot of episode 2 is her trying to get close to him. She's so sweet to her best friend. They're in the cafe and the best friend won't eat, like finish the crepe or something.
Because she's worried about gaining weight.
And then she's like, don't worry, you'll lose your weight in adulthood. Just eat that now. You know, it's like, oh, I wish I could go back and tell ourselves those things.
I know. I mean, this is so classic, but I have thought I was overweight all of my life.
Oh, really?
Right? And then I look back at these pictures, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so skinny. But I was so conscious of what I was eating and like how I looked. I would also go back and be like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just eat those things. Okay.
So she's trying to get close to him, but she doesn't know how. She's on the bus with him. And then he's saying like, oh, you're a smoker. I don't like you being a smoker.
Oh, this was the best. And she's like, I don't smoke. If I smoked, you could smell on my fingers. So she shoves her fingers up his nose. That was so good.
So good. And she just walks around with her two fingers sticking up.
She doesn't want to wash it.
I think. I don't know. It's got his boogers on it. She does this grandma monk bit where she's trying to tell him, oh, the future tells me you shouldn't get into water. She follows him to the swim training center where he's training at night and like he catches her. But he finally yells at her, who are you? Why are you doing this to me?
Right.
Final scene, we're seeing her post this pool incident and she's trying to cross the street and we can see she has PTSD crossing the street.
Oh, right. Because so we haven't learned yet, but it seems that maybe she got hit by a car while walking across the street.
She's standing in the middle and she freezes and it's like a truck of doom where the headlights are coming at you.
I always thought this was so unrealistic, but now that you tell me every time you go to Korea, these cars don't stop for you at all. They I guess don't. It is realistic. So maybe this is like propaganda from the government, like watch where you're going.
She's standing in the middle of the street. She's like having a panic attack and Sunjay saves her. In the epilogue, we now learn that the reason why Sunjay isn't reacting violently towards her psychoness to him is because he's been watching her, unbeknownst to her.
Yes.
He moved in next door to them. He was delivering a package. He looked like an ajashi delivery
like a delivery man. And she called him ajashi, which is like older man.
She's so kind to him. She's so bubbly and nice. Like, oh my God, thank you for this package. Like, here's something for you. And I think she slips him.
She slips him 2 white candies. That's what she slipped to him as he left the bridge. And he went back home. And that jar was sitting on the coffee table when he committed suicide.
With a photo of him and her in high school. It's a little chicken and egg here because Sol knows that Sunjay in 2022 likes these white candies. But actually Sunjay likes these white candies because Sol in a previous life had given him these candies. So it's coming full circle. Yeah. So he's kind of had a crush on her and she didn't know he existed.
But see, the thing about that picture that's confusing to me is, were they friends from before or...
So
or
did she change?
Right. Yeah. Did she change the course of their friendship and his life?
Right. And then are we going to see her in 2022 as these memories are basically happening in the past, right? She's reforming the past as we're watching it. So then in 2022, are those memories going to start seeding themselves in her brain so that 2022 Sol starts remembering what's going to actually happen in the show?
Oh, this is going to hurt my brain.
Oh, man, this is tough. So, yeah, that was episodes 1 and 2 of Sol and Sunjay's journey. The only other big thing that happens is we meet Kim Tae-sung, who is kind of like the bad boy.
The bad boy.
Yeah, we're going to call him bad boy. He's got a real Matty Healy, greasy band guy vibe. He wears a red silk jacket, you know.
Is like, it silk or is it leather?
I don't know. He looks like a shark or a jet, you know, from West Side Story. He likes to fight. He likes to smoke. He has kind
of
a...
And he is in a band.
Yeah, and he's in a band. He kind of has like a mean girl chasing after him.
And his dad is the police lieutenant.
Right. He has a fraught relationship with his family, it sounds like. And we learned in the past that he had gotten expelled from school, basically.
And we also learned in the past from her best friend that Seol was obsessed with him.
They meet cute in the back of an alley. They're like, she breaks up a fight. He kind of saves her and then he ditches her and she gets in trouble. Wherein her and Sunjay have a very sweet relationship. Her and bad boy Tae-sung have this kind of animosity towards each other.
Yes.
But it's actually like kind of sexy it's and like, fun.
Yeah, it's flirting.
We get ointment application on bad boy.
Oh, did she use a Q-tip?
She did not. She used her frayed up bacteria finger.
Ew, it's like you.
I know. The ointment trope is usually reserved for the leads, like the main romantic leads.
Yes.
So they are indicating
something. Well, she used her hand. So then like clearly it wasn't a sweet moment. It was like a little like slap to the face. But it also seems like they're dropping some hints that he may start falling in love with her, which I love. I love that this is becoming a triangle with two men.
And they actually have really great chemistry.
They do. Yes.
I really love them a lot together. That's kind of it.
Are you more into this bad boy? Are you into
Team
Sunjay?
Team Idol or Team Bad Boy? I'm kind of Team Bad Boy.
Oh, I knew it. Knew it.
You know me. I love battle flirting. It's much more boring to me when it's just staring longingly at each other. I have to give the show credit because there isn't a lot of this longing and staring. There's no quiet moments.
Well,
it's like
not yet.
I know. But even between her and Sunjay, they're very upfront. They talk to each other. They're very open.
Yes. Maybe that is the way of the new generation. In Korea, strangely enough, they call, quote unquote, the new generation, MG, millennial and Gen Z together. So they lump them together. Let's hope for more upfront conversations and less longing
stares
looks
into the void. I think the only other thing that I noted was Seol, I think in episode one, asks her mom, you know, who saved me from that accident?
Yes. There was a what's up with?
Our first what's up with? Do we think the reason why Sunjay knows Seol in the radio phone call at the beginning in 2009, do we think he knows her and says to her, stay alive, the sun is out, because he saved her?
I think that is a very real possibility.
It's either that or he remembers her going in the past. And somehow she doesn't know him.
But it doesn't seem like she knew him.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there would be any reason for him to have her number. But also, if you think about it, the phone call went to her mom's phone.
Oh, is that right?
I think, right? It wasn't clear, but she wasn't answering the phone. So I think it was her mom because her mom went away. So there may be something there that happened and Seol was not aware of it.
And that's it. I think, you know, what can we say more than we really thoroughly enjoyed this show so far? It feels like the Queen of Tears' younger, cuter sister.
Yes.
If anybody wants a comparison of the vibe of the show.
I will willingly pay $5.99. What are you going to give up? What's the $5.99 thing you're going to give up this month to watch the show?
When my friend was like, oh, another subscription service. I don't want to do it. And I was like, it's $5.99. It's a cup of coffee.
Truly. These days, a cup of coffee is $8 in the Bay Area.
Like a boba now to like also $8.
No exaggeration, it is $8.
So I will take these two in my life over a mango matcha
from Happy
drink
Lemon.
From Happy Lemon, the boba chain. I will gladly give that up.
You know, just one of them.
I think my diabetes is from all the matcha mangoes I drink.
That would not surprise me.
During pandemic, we would DoorDash that all the time. It was like the only joy in my life for 2 years. Thank you guys so much for listening. Go get that Viki membership. Join us on our ride. Lovely Runner is so worth it. We will see you for episodes 3 and 4 next week. Until then, be well.
Bye.